Good morning. As Gary says, I'm a chef, more than a preacher or a teacher, but it's a privilege for me to share with you all today. I will share part of my testimony and also a little reflection at the end. Won't be that long, probably. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for your mercies that are new for our lives every day, Lord. Thank you for everything that you have done for us in the past. Thank you for everything that you are doing now, even we don't see it. And thank you for everything that you will do in the coming days. We bless your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. I'm Javier, for those of you who don't know me. I'm from Argentina, married with a beautiful woman over there. I have 3 kids, and I love football, and I love to cook. I love barbecue. That's one of the ways that I really, hallelujah. That's really one of the ways that I can show love to people, and I really enjoy it. I really love to cook, so we can have something. When Gary asked me a few months ago if I can share, I was not sure about it. I said, Gary, you know, my English is not that good. Javier, is that an excuse? Well, you're gonna be good, Javier. Don't worry. And I pray about it, and I was like, should I? And I think that this will help me also to be more vulnerable, and also, hopefully, as I say, will encourage you with the things I would share. So this started when I was a young man. I was 17. I look at you, young kids. I was in a debate, being alive or not. I was in a depression, and if you ask me, can you, as 17, be in a depression? Yes, you can. And let me tell you something. I was not ready for that. You know, I was going to church my whole life. I was serving in the Sunday school. I was going to every camp that my church has, and I was not ready for everything that was happening to me. I was very overwhelmed. So one night I decided that I will finish with my life. I was like, that's it. I don't want to live anymore, with 17 years old. And I remember that night, my father was watching a soccer game in the dining room. We love soccer, we both love do. And I say, okay, that's on. Halas, like the Arab says, halas, it's done. So I went to the bathroom of my house. I still remember like it was today. Very ugly green paint in the bathroom. And I took a rope and I went to the bathroom and I said, that's it. And I was not alone in that bathroom. The person of the Lord was there to save me. And this is really, for me, this is really the miracle, because I did like 2 rounds around my neck. I really wanted to be the end, but the Lord didn't want it. The Lord was there to save me. So then I was so frustrated. I took a towel because I was like all the marks here, and I walked. And I remember my sister asked me, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. So I went to my room and I started crying and crying and crying and crying. And I said, if you really exist, if there is a God out there, that I knew so many things about God, but I didn't know the Lord himself. So I said to the Lord, if you really exist, what do you want from me? I have nothing good to give. I'm not good at anything. And then I heard a voice saying, I want your heart. And I was like, whoa, now I'm driving crazy. I was like, where did this voice came from? And I repeat the same question. If you love me, if you really exist, what do you want from me? And I heard the same voice. And it wasn't a voice like, I want your heart, you know. It was like a very tender voice. I will never forget this. It was like, I want your heart, Javier. That's all I want. So I did like this. I probably was the heaviest thing that I really carry heavy stuff, you know, like pants with hundreds of kilos of meat, but that was heavier, and I did like this. From my chest, I have something that was heavier than anything. And I said, Lord, here's my life. Do whatever you want. Since that day, my life changed. I felt such a freedom that day. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready for it. So I repent from all my sins, and I went to my pastor, and I say, I want to be baptized. I really believe that I have an encounter with Jesus. And I tell you, Jesus was there. So I got baptized, and a few months later, I went to Buenos Aires City. I was living in a very small countryside village, less than 2,000 people. And I wanted to go to study, to be a vet. In Argentina, vets, they earn a lot of money. So that was my plan. But the Lord says, no, I don't want you to be a vet. And I was like, okay. I wanted to be a vet because, as I say, vets in Argentina earn a lot of money, and I come from a poor family, so I don't want to be poor. I'm done with this. But the Lord says, no. So then my second plan was, okay, I'm going to live with my grandma. Let's see, I will study something else. And the Lord said, no. So I got an invitation to join a Christian community in Argentina, a young Christian community. And I went just for a camp for a few days, 3 days camp. And the Lord spoke to me that I have to stay. And one day, that was in March 2002, the Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. and says, read Isaiah 6. Okay, I opened the Bible, I read it, and then the Lord says, he was pointing on chapter 8. Who should I send? And I was like, okay, send me. I went back to sleep. Next day I woke up and I was like, oh, that was a weird dream. But it wasn't a dream. So I started walking with the Lord, and I started knowing how to listen to his voice. I started following this light that I never had in my life. I like this verse in John 8, chapter 12, that says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So I started walking with the Lord, and it was a very interesting beginning for my life, because I was like, I know nothing. I was in church my whole life, but I know nothing about God, because I didn't have a close relationship with the Lord. And that's what I really needed. A few years later, I met Michelle. So I shared to her some of the things that the Lord put in my heart. And one of the things was to pray, and probably to come to this land and serve. And she was like, okay, that's good. We prayed for more than 10 years to come here. But I remember Michelle says to the Lord, Lord, I want to tell you something. If you don't know Michelle, she's very, you know, strict in the way she speaks. I want to tell you something. I'm not going to follow my husband just because. If you want me to go there, to that land, you need to speak to me. No problem. He spoke to her. I mean, I think that in our hearts we knew how difficult, but, you know, the things that, the challenge that you have to face here. So probably that's one of the things that we really need. If you want to come here, you really need a word from the Lord. That's true. That's for sure. And it wasn't easy to come here, really. We were in Argentina serving. We were really like full involved in ministry. But in 2018, we came for the first time. And the first step that we, put in the airport, when we step in this land, we say, well, this is home. And for us, it was like, this is home, we want to come. But we really needed to be sure that the Lord wants us to be here. And we really also need to be sure that our kids wanted to be here. It's not that we just bring our kids. We are coming with our kids. They are part of our ministry, part of our family. So we came, and 3 days after we arrived, the Lord gave us a word that this is the place. And 3 days before we flew out, the Lord gave a word to Gigi, that the same word. And it was very interesting because, you know, we always encourage our kids to have devotionals and have, like, time with the Lord. I know, Gigi, you don't want to talk me to talk about you, but this is very important because the Lord gave the same word to Gigi, that this was the place. And she was, you know, kids playing with tablets and cell phones. And Michelle says, Gianna, did you did your quiet time, your devotional with the Lord? Oh, yeah, and I wrote it down something there. Okay, so she went to look to the paper, and it was the same word that we received. So the Lord was confirming that this is the place where we need to serve. This is going to be our home. So we went back to Argentina, and we spoke with our leaders, and we say, we're going to leave. We were involved in ministry, but the Lord says, no, this is the place where I want you to live. And I remember I have this just one testimony about the faithfulness of the Lord. I said, Lord, first day we arrived, I went to the supermarket. We were in Bethlehem, and I went to the supermarket. And I said, I'm going to grab something for breakfast for the kids tomorrow. Just a milk and a box of cereals, 27 shekels. I mean, 27 shekels, that's not that bad. Then I made the calculation. I was like, oh, by that time it was like $9. I was, man, in Argentina with $9, you eat like 3-4 days. So I say, Lord, you know where we are coming from? I don't know how you're going to do it, but you had to do it. And I can tell you that the Lord is faithful. The Lord gave us a word that the oil and the flour will never miss. So for us, it was like, okay, we're ready to leave. And I'm gonna say, like, oh, we have sometimes that, you know, like, struggle a little bit, but the Lord always being faithful with us. So we say, okay, money is no problem for the Lord. So we spoke with our leaders, and they say, okay, if you're ready to leave, it's not like just leave, but they say, okay, if you're ready to leave, we will work with you through all this time. But between these, before we come here, I want to highlight one of the biggest testimonies also about how the Lord can save. And it's about Mikal. She's not here. She just went down. Michelle was with high blood pressure during the pregnancy in 2016. And I needed to go every day and do my job, you know, like I become a nurse. So I needed to, like, measure the blood pressure. And I did it, you know, every morning and every night. So I did it, and it was fine. So then I said, okay, I'm going to take a shower. And then while I was taking a shower, the Lord says to me, go and do it again. Why? I mean, but I remember the word when the Lord says to Simon, throw the nets again. I mean, they were fishing the whole night. And Jesus were a carpenter, and they were the fishermen. They knew, but Jesus said, do it again. So he knows better than we do. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I went back to the room. I said, Michelle, I need to do it again. And she's like, you just did it like 5 minutes ago. I have to do it. And the blood pressure was like 200-something. So we went to the hospital. Short story, 3 days later, Mikal born at the week 32. And I still remember, like, saying, thanks, thank you, Lord, because you really saved Mikal. And the doctor says to me, either it's Michelle or Mikal. You have to choose. And I said to the Lord, no, Lord, I already gave one son to you, so I'm not going to do it again. So the Lord says, okay, he saved both. So for me, really, the word of the Lord has been something that saved my life and saved my wife and saved my daughter. And even all my kids, I'm not going to go to all of them, but, you know, all of them, their life has been really a miracle, how they how they been really saved by the Lord. So going back to the coming here, we went back to Argentina. We said we will leave it. 2020, we were ready. 2017, we were ready even with our luggage. I don't know if Michelle remembers this, but a church knew that we love to be here. And they said, we will pay for your tickets, we'll pay for your expenses, we'll pay for everything. And we were ready with our luggage. They never show up. That never happened. The Lord was testing our faith. But in 2020, we came, and the first thing, the first word that I received when we came from the Lord was, persevere. Okay, persevere. I mean, okay, we are moving to a new country, new context, new culture, new language, new everything. 2 weeks later, COVID hits the world. We're like, really? And we understood, oh, now is why we need to persevere. Many people said to us, why don't you leave? Even I remember one of the barbers, he says, why don't you leave? All the foreigners, we were living in Bethlehem, so all the foreigners are leaving. Why don't you leave? And I was like, mm-mm. I didn't say to him, the Lord spoke me to be here, but I say, we want to be here. So that word really, for me, was really like one of the cornerstones in my life to be here. And one of the songs that we were singing was highlighting the faithfulness of the Lord. And that's what I really want to highlight from the Lord in my life. Sometimes I didn't really pay attention to what the Lord was saying. Sometimes I really didn't want to do what he says to me. But I know that when I did, I can tell you that I've been blessed. It's not easy when the Lord says something. It's not easy when the Lord is, go to the right and you want to go left or you want to keep standing. But we always see the blessing of the Lord when we walk in obedience to him. So that's what I want to highlight from the Lord. His word in my life, it's been for the last 24 years, it's been really something that I say, Lord, I cannot live without you. I can't. And even I remember after I tried to kill myself, I have many times where I was like, that's the easiest, you know. But it's not the easiest. The easiest is to go to the Lord, really. We don't know how many times Jesus is so close to us to save us. We don't know. And I really highlight that. The Lord is always there, always protecting us. And I always say that my grandma, she always prayed for all her grandsons and granddaughters, always, always. And I know that she's in heaven now, and I know that she will be happy to see me here serving the Lord. When I make the decision to serve the Lord, I say, Lord, here I am, send me, do whatever you want. And I can tell you that the Lord, it's been so good to us. So I want to just go to a verse that I really love, and it's one of my favorites. It's in Psalm 119:105, very well-known verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. And I also have these two versions here. It says, by your word I can see where I'm going. They threw a beam of light on my path, on my dark path. Your word is like a lamp that showed me the way. It is like a light that guides me. So for me, it's like, why is this light so important for us? Light is one of the main resources in the world. We really need light. And I when I was preparing this, I was comparing to the oxygen. You know, if there is no light, there is no photosynthesis in the trees. There are no photosynthesis, no oxygen, no oxygen, no life. Same way with Jesus. No Jesus, no transformation of our hearts. No transformations, no breath of the Spirit. No breath of the Spirit, no life. We are dead. We really come cool in our spiritual life if we don't have Jesus. We were not made to survive in this darkness that we were We were created to live in the light. Second thing, light leaves everything exposed. I remember I had some things in my heart that I said, I will never say this to anyone. This is so ashamed for me. I don't want to share this. But the Lord says, no, where there is light, where there light is shining, you can't hide anything. You have to be accountable. You have to tell things. So when the light is there, there is no secrets. There is nothing that we need to hide from the Lord. Even if it's painful or shameful, whatever, it doesn't matter. The Lord will take care of it. When there is no light, it's lack of clarity. I asked the kids, the three kids, when I was preparing this, why is the light so important for you? Why do you think it's so important? And they said, it's important to see. But Mikal, the little one, she said, it's important because if we don't see, it is dangerous. If we don't have light, it is dangerous. So when we have no clarity, it is dangerous to walk. Do you agree? If you walk to a dark place, you will stumble, you will like start kicking things, and the worst will be if you kick it with your little little pinky, right? But where there is light, there is clarity. So the light that we have will bring direction to our plans, more understanding and confidence. And it will help us really to see how the things are. The closer we get to the light, the farther we get from darkness. We can see in Paul, he was really walking in darkness. But I love the verse when he encountered with Jesus. It says, as he journeyed, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. That light was Jesus himself. I don't want to compare. I can't compare me with Paul. But I can tell you that I was the same. I was walking in darkness. And I really need to see the light in my life. I really need to see the light inside of me. Because Paul was surrounded by darkness, but also the darkness was within him. But when we encounter this light, we will never walk in darkness. And we will leave the darkness behind. We all need personal light. When David wrote this verse, he wasn't vague. He's like, a lamp to my feet. So we all need our personal connection with the Lord. And sometimes we don't want it. Who wants to walk up? I know some friends that they woke up at 5 to pray, and I was like, good job, man. I mean, I can if I need to, but it's not something that I really love to. But we need it. We need personal light every day. The light that I have, I cannot give it to my kids. The light that my pastor or my friends or my family has, I cannot take it from them. We all need our own personal light in our lives. We all need our own revelation, our own time with the Lord, even if we don't want it. We all need our own lamp. And lastly, the seeking of the light must be daily. The light that we have today is not enough for tomorrow. Like the Israelites, they need the manna. When? Every day. Perhaps we need the light every day. The light that I had yesterday will not work for today because I'm facing something different. And the light that I had today will not work for me for tomorrow. We need personal light and daily light. So Lord, what areas of our lives still need to encounter, to crash with this light? What areas? That's something that we all need in our personal time. Ask Lord, what areas do you need our light, your light? I cannot tell you. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, it will be difficult. And I always say, like, Lord, this is a whole process. I know that there is still areas that I need more light in my life. So the Lord may help us to find more light every day, and also that we can shine this light to others. Amen. God bless you, and thank you, Gary, for the opportunity. Shabbat shalom.